This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome back to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. We're getting later in the year here, and we're joined, as always, with Dr. Frank Rossi. Frank, let's start with the weather and kind of how that's been setting things up lately.
Carl, I'm looking at the forecast website, you know, the wonderful website that Art DiGaetano and the staff at the Northeast Climate Center put together, the NRCC, and you can follow them on Twitter at NRCC. Mm-hmm. They have some spectacular climate and weather tools. In fact, Mark Wysocki, one of the professors there, just got a national award for meteorological teacher, you know, of a lifetime achievement award. And you look at, you know, weather people all over the country, and they're scattered with Cornell grads who know Wysocki fairly well. Yeah. So with that as a backdrop, I'm looking at the map, and you got some areas in the Northeast, Carl, 20 degrees above normal last week. Yeah. 20 degrees, right? Art's saying normal's in the 60s, upper 60s for this time. Mm-hmm. We had three straight days in the 90s. Yeah. It was the first heat wave Central New York has had since August of last year. So that's an easy way to put this in perspective, what we're coming out of. Yeah. We're all experiencing a little bit of a cool down. And of course, it feels dramatically cooler. And Art talks about the way we perceive cool weather after some warm weather. And he says that's the problem a little bit with climate change and the fact that, you know, it's always warmer. So when it's just a little bit cooler, even though it's still warm, it feels cooler. And that's when I was talking about the springs shifting. Yeah. And the falls being warmer. And for sure, that's happening. Yeah. Very dry weather as well. But those conditions are setting up a whole variety of things we normally see in July. Right, Carl?
Yeah, we're really seeing those kind of summer stress issues drying out of fairways and rough areas, especially around trees. Seeing some brown patch, rust, gray leaf spot, and then also some late season ABW damage as well, which is kind of odd.
That's right, of course, and which is very strange, right? So you wonder, I'm not astute enough on it, monitoring them to know if we're third or fourth generation. Mm-hmm. This has got to be past the second generation because we were starting to see the second generation ABWs, you know, back in June and July. Yeah. When the larvae were out and we were seeing them out mating again. It could be the second generation, the hatching of the pupation of the second generation onto the third generation. Either way, we don't normally see this much injury. Mm-hmm. Tammy Yeh, the great Dr. Yeh from the eastern end of Long Island, joined us on the call this week for really just as you heard. She's just a walking encyclopedia. She scouts constantly. Mm-hmm. and also talked about the ABW, talked about cutworm abound, mm-hmm. Talked about fairy ring, yeah. Right? And what she was describing was mostly a type one. Where it just went, it sort of had a little bit of green, but it looked like it went right to dead.
Yeah.
So she was seeing that it wasn't necessarily hydrophobic, but it died pretty quickly. No mushrooms. The mushrooms are the type mm-hmm. three. So black turf grass Ateneus, she mentioned. But for sure, what we're all, you know, she also saw, we heard from Rich Buckley, gray leaf spot yeah. and rust, yeah. right? Foliar diseases with the heavy dew. We're seeing brown patch because of the heat stress. So you have to be aware of your spray intervals now when most guys are backing off of them and say, well, you know, typically I don't worry about it this time of year. But you got to look, hey, whoa, look what's going on with your turf. Make sure if it's 14 days that on the 15th day, 16th day, you're at least looking at the models to look at the risk, and all the disease models are showing pretty high risk mm-hmm. for a lot of the things that we worry about. So consequently, you know, we don't want to tell you to take your foot off, you know, put your foot on the brake completely. And certainly it's a good time to grow grass. You can get away with a lot, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, you still got to be mindful of your weakest spots. And if you have weak spots, you got to pay attention to it. We've also talked about, Carl, you and I, for most of this year, because of the good growing conditions, when we are getting stress, to allow it to thin out some of our stand in places where we can get away with it. If we let our stand thin a little bit to some of these stresses at this time of year, and they're not in significantly important areas, and you start to let them, you know, fade off, and then either you add new genetics or maybe new more resistant biotypes recover. Now, yeah. this is tricky to do with annual bluegrass because you never know what's going to come back. And so that's a good chance if you have bentgrass areas or Kentucky bluegrass areas, ryegrass areas, tall fescue areas, that you get out there and do the seeding, which is also a little bit compromised this way, this time of year because of the drought. Right, Carl? It's been pretty dry.
Yeah. No significant rainfall in the last 2 weeks is what Art told us.
No. And so the seed is just sitting on the ground. People are trying to get recovery. If you have irrigation, as you said, Lakeshore Country Club or Lakeshore Golf Club up there in Syracuse in absolutely perfect condition for this inter-club championship. You and the hustlers from Cornell University, Robert Trent Jones Golf Course, are going around winning everywhere. So we're happy to hear that. I would say the last thing on our plate is grubs and vertebrate damage. You noticed it yourself on one of the local golf courses, and I think it's important to note those areas. Likely that the grubs are either deeper or bigger. You're not going to get much control. If you're worried in the high-value areas, you better think about a Dilox application, not our favorite chemical from an EIQ perspective. Mm-hmm. But if it is a high-value area, you know, Central Park lawn or, you know, the Statue of Liberty or something where everybody wants the lawns to look good, you want to be really careful about monitoring for those grubs. So I guess with that, Carl, we're at the end of the 27th week. Are we in week 27?
Right. Yep.
So normally we do it for about 30 some odd weeks, but climate change might force us a little bit longer.
That's correct. And I think that's a good way to wrap up today's episode. We'll certainly be back next week with some more updates and information for you guys. As always, give us a follow on Facebook or Twitter at Cornell Turf. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.